Welcome into the Phillies Today podcast. I am your host, Buzz, and not a fun one on Monday night as the Phils lose the hands of the New York Mets 5-4. First time the Phillies were back at Citi Field this week since they lost in the National League Division Series last October. First time, you know, this season that these two teams are getting together. First of 13 matchups. You used to play 19 games against your division. Now you only play 13. So each of these games, obviously, of heightened importance. Each of these games matters a ton. And each of these games are going to, you know, likely, could very well decide who wins the NL East at the end of the season. I mean, this is the kind of series that decides that sort of thing. This is the kind of thing that, you know, we look at in late September, early October. I know you can't win a division in April, but this is the type of thing we look back in late September, early October, and say, you know, this is why they're seated here. This is why they got this playoff matchup. And I know we all like to hyper-focus on, you know, what the finish was like actually in the playoffs, but it all matters, and all of the games matter. And the Phillies, they were really disappointing this game. So, yeah, they lose 5-4, and that score is honestly a little misleading. They did not score a singular run until the ninth. They were down 5-0. I mean, they were down 1-0 after 1, 2-0 after 2, 5-0 after 7. Start with a continued point of concern here in the early going of the season, which is Aaron Nola. Now, the line score looked generally okay. But anyone who, you know, watched this game with your eyes knows that the home run ball is still an issue. Bottom of the first inning, right back where you left off. Last year, of course, the season didn't literally end on the final pitch with this happening, but the dagger was the grand slam that Francisco Lindor hit off of Carlos Estevez in game four of the NLDS. And to lead off the bottom of the first of Monday's game, Lindor takes Nola deep. I mean, it was literally, you know, five pitches into Nola's night. He allowed a home run on a 76-mile-an-hour curveball, and the Mets were off and running. And then you fast forward to the bottom of the second inning. Once again, Jesse Winker leads off. Third pitch of the at-bat, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, gets hit over the fence. So we're talking 2-0. And then Nola got into a bit of a rhythm there. I know that's not what you're looking for out of a guy who was once in the ace conversation. I mean, he has kind of really been delegated down to your fourth starter right now, which is frustrating. But, you know, he gets through the third, ultimately, okay. Juan Soto, so he leads off the third inning. Tyrone Taylor leads off the third inning with a single. Lindor then walks, and he did that on five pitches. Nola didn't look like he wanted to throw him anything, just about. And then Soto hits an absolute tank, like 600 feet, into right field. And this thing missed the foul pole by, it might have been less than a foot. It literally might have been inches. They had to zoom in. The camera shot on NBC Sports Philadelphia. You couldn't tell right away. For a while, I thought it was fair. But the replay center in New York and Manhattan, in this case, while they're playing in Queens, they zoomed it in, and they saw that this ball was inches foul. And I do mean inches. I mean, the ultimate, if it's fair, it's gone type of situation. Soto killed this ball, and he ultimately got him to ground out on a changeup later in the inning. Then Alonso struck out. Nimmo struck out. Looked like it was going to be a turning point. Looked like it was going to be, all right, Nola settles in. He ultimately allows two runs. Let's get the bats going. And it just, the bats could not get going this game. It felt like I was watching game four all over again. And I mentioned what happened in the ninth inning. We'll get to that in a minute. But prior to the ninth inning, prior to Monday night's ninth inning, the Phillies were 12 for their last 88 at Citi Field. That dates back to last NLDS, includes Game 3 and Game 4. 12 for their last 88. The Phillies scored, and this is including the ninth inning, Phillies have scored 7 runs in those games. Francisco Lindor has driven in 9. And in case you missed it, just a little bit of fast forward in this game. We go into the bullpen. Nola did take this game into the bottom of the seventh, which I would have taken him out after six, but I think that is just a pure indication of what Thompson thinks of his bullpen right now. He goes into Jose Ruiz, and he does so with a couple of runners on, and Lindor gets the Phillies again, a three-run bomb, 434 feet to deep right center field, and that was looked like it was going to be the game, 5-0, right? And Phillies come up in the eighth. They go down in four hitters. Schwarber did have a single, so not quite 1-2-3. And then we're talking about, we go to the ninth. Phillies down 5-0. And at this point, the biggest thing you could possibly do is just try and get Edwin Diaz to pitch. Like, get their, big-time reliever into the game. So Max Kranich was in. Phillies actually chased him in the ninth. Kepler let off with a double. Realmuto singles him in. So that made it 5-1. Bohm singled. Moved Realmuto up to second. So again, they're showing a little bit of fight, down 5 runs. Then Diaz came in. So runners on first and second. Diaz comes in. And it was Cal Stevenson flies out on the first pitch, which, all right, is frustrating for a guy who is oftentimes wild. Then a couple of foul balls for Bryson Stott, new leadoff hitter Bryson Stott, and he hits a home run into the bullpen, and this makes the game 5-4. But what happened, it just makes what happened next all that more infuriating. Now, we all know home runs are rally killer, not allowed to score any runs after that. So it's 5-4, one out, top of the ninth, and now we have a game, crowd standing on its feet. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, due up, could be Kyle Schwarber if one of them gets on. Trey Turner swings, on 4 pitches. There was some chase involved there. The third one was not even close. Or second strike total was nowhere close. And then Bryce Harper strikes out on 3 pitches. And here was the frustrating thing from that Bryce at bat, which is that we have seen this before. We have seen this before from Bryce Harper, where it feels like he goes up there trying to be the hero. He goes up there knowing what the moment is, what the moment he believes calls for. And it's frustrating. Like, I have been at games when Harper comes up in a spot like that, knowing he can tie the game. He wants to be the hero. And listen, he is the showman, and he has had some really, really big swings for this team. Clutch swings. The Bedlam at the Bank home run is obviously at the top of everyone's list, but the walk-off grand slam against the Cubs, and the list goes so on and so forth. But for as many big-time moments as he has other ones where he's trying to be a hero, other at-bats where he's trying to rise to the occasion. And it's frustrating as hell. It is frustrating as hell to see your star player go down like that in a big spot and taking big time after big time after big time hack. And Edwin Diaz knows it. I mean, for a guy who is all over the place, and Stott made him pay on a fastball, a guy who was all over the place, Turner and Harper then went on to swing at 6 of the next 7 pitches. Like, and the one pitch that Turner took to lead off the at-bat was a fastball up. It was a ball. So I know that these guys do not like to go out of their way to say, like, oh, you're taking a strike here. Because I get it, in the major leagues, that might be the best at-bat you see. I understand entirely that might be the best at-bat that you see. Like, error, not best at-bat, the best pitch that you see. In the big, sometimes you only get one pitch to hit per at-bat, and you better capitalize on that one pitch, whenever it happens. I get it. However, when you have a guy who is, like, don't help him out. Do not, and that's what Turner and Harper did. They helped out Edwin Diaz, and that's what was so frustrating about this. So, again, Phillies lose 5-4. Nola got 4 of those runs charged to him, although Ruiz, came in an inheritance spot and did allow 2 of those runs on the Lindor bomb. Tanner Banks pitched a clean eighth. Didn't have to get through a ninth inning. They made Tyler McGill, I know he's been good so far this year, but he made him look like Cy Young. Just plowed. He allowed 1 hit in 5 1/3, and then You know, their bullpen has been pretty solid so far this year. Reed Garrett comes in to close out the sixth scoreless. Kranick was the only one who had a really bad outing, and then Diaz, a little shaky, did allow the one run because the Stott home run was off of him. But overall, it was not a fun night to be there. If you made the trip up to Citi Field, I'm sorry. If you watched this one on TV like I did, also sorry. Lindor continues to kill this team. You got a hit from Alonso, a hit from Nimmo, who continues to be annoying, two from Winker, one from Acuna, and one from Tyrone Taylor. Like, this was not an unbeatable Mets team on Monday night. And the frustrating thing is that, like, again, this is a continuation from what happened last October. And it feels like, well, the Nola thing is really just frustrating, but the offense is also frustrating. Like, I remember, you know, for a while, it felt like the Phillies couldn't play at Truist Park in Atlanta, and they just had no success there whatsoever. Like, they just had no ability to come through in any big moment. There was always, like, a mental edge with the Braves. It always felt like they played, you know, fundamental, more crisp baseball. And that's what it feels like. It feels like the Mets are the varsity team and the Phillies are the JV team. That feeling persisted again on Monday night. So, you know, what this sets up is obviously, you know, not impossible to win the series if you don't win the first. They got two more games with them left to go. Tuesday night, another 7:10 start, and then a 1:10 p.m. getaway spot in New York. So we'll see how those fare. But as of right now, I think it's fair to question how this, you know, this Mets team is hot. The Phillies won 2 of 3 over the weekend and literally went backwards a game because the Mets have come out firing out of the gate. I mean, they already in early April put a nice little 6-game win streak together. They are currently on a 5-game win streak. It's not great if you're the Phillies trying to catch them in the standings. And again, these games, so important. I guess takeaways from a Phil's perspective is, you know, the offense still looks inconsistent night to night. We'd like to see them hit better at Citi Field. We'd like to see Bryce Harper have a little bit more patience at the plate and just a better plate approach through the first 8 innings of the game. It felt like a lot of, all right, runners on base, let's swing early. And we're constantly trying to attack early, attack early, attack early. And it feels like other pitchers know that. They're able to generate weak contact. It feels like a strategy that is not something that you should live or die on. And again, I've hit on this before. The issue is not early in the season been the chase stuff. I think that, at least not the persisting issue, the way that it was last October. They have been a more disciplined team at the plate. But, you know, if you're swinging at weak contact and you're rolling over, you're hitting into double plays, you're just popping out in the first pitch, that doesn't really, if anything, that's actually worse because you're making the pitcher work less, fewer pitches. So frustrating for sure. This was not a night necessarily to rip the bullpen, though I do think those issues leaked into this game. As I mentioned, the bullpen struggles are a large part why Nola was still in that game in the seventh. You know, Rob Thompson may not admit that, but, you know, he'll spin it as, well, he's trying to get some guys some rest. They're, you know, we're down a couple of guys tonight. You know, he'll always say that he trusts his guys. But if you put him on a polygraph, put him on the lie detector, I think he would say, listen, there are some concerns we have here. There are some, you know, struggles with the bullpen right now that need to be worked out, and they're not cutting it. So, it was not a fun night to watch the Phils take on the Mets. Turner 0-for-3, a couple of strikeouts. Harper 0-for-3, did walk a couple of times, but also a couple of both Turner and Harper walked twice, both with a couple of strikeouts. Stott continues to play well at the top of the lineup, best batting average on the team right now. He's got 2 hits. Schwarber had a hit. Kepler did have 2 hits, but later in the game, when it felt like the game was more so out of reach, his at-bats continue to look like a struggle. Real Muto just one, you know, one for four. Bohm, one for three. Rojas, 0 for two. Clemens and Stevenson both got in at bat in this game and didn't get hits. Phils were 7 for 34 overall in this one. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those hits came in the ninth inning. So they had more hits in the ninth than they did in the first 8 innings combined. That's not going to get it done. And you know, I guess my overall takeaway from this game, if you want to look big picture here, and again, 2 more games to go, 12 more with the Mets on the season, is I came into the year believing the Phillies, you know, still had, perhaps still could have, not did, but could have, an edge on the Mets. That, yeah, they signed the big man Mamu and Soto, but that this is a beatable lineup top to bottom. Their pitching doesn't stack up to where the Phillies' pitching is, and the Phillies can still go toe-to-toe with them over 162, and it was maybe a little bit more of a fluke in the division series than what actually this team's identity is. Watching Monday night, you know, that made that takeaway kind of seem like an idiot. It feels like or make me look like an idiot. It does feel like the Mets were clearly, or are clearly, the better team, like current, present day. And that's a disappointing reality. Like that is a disappointing thing to think about your ball club, is that this team is, that the Phillies are looking up at the Mets the same way they used to look up at the Braves. Like, that was a pretty short run the Phillies had in the NL East, and maybe they'll get into the playoffs, and maybe it'll be the same script they followed with the Braves for those couple of seasons in 22 and 23. They'll get the Mets in the NLDS and they'll reverse everything. But right now, like, Citi Field is got to be this team's least favorite place to play. And you would hope, even though this is an April series, that they went into this series with a little bit more urgency. Like, this is a bigger series than the Dodgers series was. I know the Dodgers series was early in the year, and they're the hot team with the biggest guy in Ohtani, and they are the defending World Series champs. But for the Phillies specifically, they are, you know, these games with the Mets do matter more. Like, they are more meaningful. That is the team. And with a number of difficult teams in the National League East, there is no guarantee at a playoff spot. There are clearly going to be a number of teams in the hunt for postseason baseball here. And the Phillies are going to be one of them. And the easiest path, as weird as it sounds, the most reliable path anyway, would be to win the division. And you have to win these. You have to win these games with the Mets. Also, we live in a day and age with no game 163. So these come up as tiebreakers late in the year. We know that was a big deal last year when the Mets and Braves had to play a doubleheader on the final day of the season. And they actually both clinched playoff spots. Because they, you know, split it nicely. So, these are important games. It was a frustrating watch. Hope the Phillies can get back at it, if I could speak, on Tuesday. The pitching matchup will be Christopher Sanchez versus Griffin Canning. Canning, you know, comes in so far on the year with a 3.43 ERA. Only shaky start was he had one in Sacramento, actually, against the A's, where they went 5 1/3, allowed just 4 runs. Or he allowed, not just 4 runs, allowed 4 runs. But overall, has been pretty good, coming off a good start against St. Louis. 6 runs, 1 earned, or 6 innings, 1 earned in that one. And then for Christopher Sanchez, you know, he's been pretty good to start the year. He had that one start against the Dodgers where he allowed 4 runs, but it's been quality start other than that. So you hope that behind Sanchi, as they call him, the Phillies can get the job done at Citi Field. That's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. As always, you know, stay tuned. I'll be back at it again tomorrow, reacting to game 2 of this series. And of course, you can always check the Phillies Today page for the latest Phillies news and podcasts with myself, Buzz, Justin Morgenstein, and my other co-host, Francisco Rojas. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. I will talk to you tomorrow.